Now then, I wonder if you've been guessing who we've got. Well, you know by now. Today we've got Noah. But my text is not in Genesis. My text is in Peter, 2 Peter 2 verse 5. But then, really, it's better for you to go to Genesis 6 because that is where we will be. But I'll read my text from Peter. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the place upon the world, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now the main thing I want from that verse, and I chose it as a text, was that he was a preacher of righteousness. And that is something that can be overlooked and forgotten if it was not picked up in the New Testament. Now, we've been looking at characters in the Bible, not particularly studying a character with all the details of their lives. That in itself is an interesting thing to do, but something that can be very real to us in our own lives. And that is, there are times in our spiritual lives, speaking now in the context of grace. Remember, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He's a believer. And I'm speaking in the context now of us here. If you are able to say, "I have believed, and I know in my heart that I am a child of God, that my sins are forgiven, and that I have peace with God," and that you know that you, when you sing hymns like "We are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God," you know that that is true of you, and that is your destination. Now then, I can remember a long time ago, somebody coming to the Lord, and they were gloriously saved, and this is, it's genuinely saved because it's over 35 years ago, and they're still going on with the Lord. But I can remember this person's first problem. She said, "Well, I thought after coming, I'd have no problems, that it would be a life of ease, and no problems, and no temptations, and no difficulties." I said, "No, when you come to the Lord, the battle really starts, because Satan is unwilling. And you'll find those who are not the Lord's, they are also unwilling as well. But you'll find that the Lord himself is with you." Now then, we know then that when we are the Lord's people, that we do, there are some people, both that they are never down. Well, I must say, I envy them. I get times of a low ebb. I'm sure you feel the same, too. You have a low ebb sometimes, you know. Sometimes you can't explain it. I like the words of Wordsworth when he said, "When fears and fancies thick upon me came, I knew not nor could name." There are times we're low and we cannot really give it a name. And we cannot really understand. It's a spiritual and a mysterious kind of thing. And there are times there is a low because we know we have sinned. And we've let God down and we know we're ashamed of ourselves. There's a law also when God leads us into circumstances to teach us something that we can only learn by going into that low period of experience. So these laws are not wasted. In them all, God is there. For example, the one I've used to use, Isaiah had his law that he was, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips," and he was undone and so on, when he had a vision of God. But that was in order that he might see something of the glory of God. So God brought him low to show him the holiness of God. So they are not without meaning and not without purpose. Nothing God does in our lives is without meaning, or that happens in our lives. Now, there are such times. The pity is sometimes we waste them. And we don't learn from our low. And we allow the roots of bitterness to get there. And bitterness is a big problem. And no one else can really help you there. Because you're told in the Epistle to the Hebrews, so pluck it out. And you can't wean it out, you can't persuade it out. It's something you have to pluck out. But when you have plucked it out, you feel so relieved and so much better. And so when we allow something, some attitude to a person or some unwillingness, or whatever it may be. There are thousands of things that can make us bitter. Not to allow them, because they spoil our joy. Do you remember when David sinned? We've looked at him as well. And then he said, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, he'd lost the joy of it because sin had come into his life. He'd had a low, and God brought him up again. And for us too, that if we waste a low, then bitterness or something will set in, and we can waste years, perhaps even a whole lifetime up to our deathbed. We can waste instead of living to the glory of God. Now then, we have an account here today, and this is of Noah. Now there are numerous references to Noah in the New Testament. I cannot read them all, but I'll read one or two. The one I read from Peter, remember, then there's Hebrews 11, verse 7. It sums up spiritually the faith of Noah. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that is, he was warned of God. He's a righteous man, godly man, and God came to him, warned of God about something that's going to happen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and being heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now you know that our righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. And these in the Old Testament, they see Christ from afar. And in Christ we are collected together. You read the end of Hebrews 11 and you find the saints of the old and those other new. We're all collected together in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his righteousness. Now we're looking at Noah. He was a righteous man, and by that we mean he was a godly man, and he was a preacher of righteousness. So that's our picture. Now then, I've got 3 points, and they're brief. The first is this, the courage of Noah. And I think courage is a wonderful thing. There are times you feel that you lack courage, and there are times you ask God to give you courage. And he gives you courage. Courage is a wonderful thing, and especially spiritual courage. It's a period he lived of moral darkness on the earth. Everything was so disappointing. Nobody was interested in God. Oh, just like today. I mean, if you talked to your neighbor and went to your neighbor and said to them, I really want to talk to you about the things of God. They might be mannerly and be nice to you. On the other hand, they might be totally indifferent to you and might even be very rude to you. And they might just listen and be dismissive of what you say. We live in an age, don't we? I think I told you, an American pastor called to see me about 6 months ago. I met him sometime. And he'd asked where I'd live. He was staying in one of the hotels in Cardiff. So he asked where our church was. And the receptionist knew, because she lived in Whitchurch Road at one time. And so she was able to see where the church was. And then from there, he was able to find where I lived. And he said, I had a strange experience. Because you know the high percentage of attend church in the United States. He said to her, "And do you go to church?" "Which church you go to?" "Oh, I don't go." "Why don't you go?" And she smiled. She said, "But nobody does." Well, she was quite honest. Hardly anybody does. In these dear islands and this once blessed country of Wales we live in, you know, and this continent so blessed at one time that we are part of, you can say that, in a sense, very few are interested. And there is a terrible blanket of unbelief. Oh yes, every now and again, there's one or two will believe. But you know, it is not people asking you, will you tell me and will you show me the way? Well, he lived in a time like that. And in Genesis 6:5 is summed up. And God saw that And God saw that man, that the sin of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So then God, when he looked at man, saw that even the thoughts of all men was towards, what can I indulge in? What can I gratify my lust with? That the thoughts of his mind and his desires were towards evil continually. That man's heart was set on self-gratification and on evil. And the Lord says in verse 7, now chapter 6 is in Genesis, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Now, why do you say that? Now, remember the holy character of God. Now, when we look at the attributes of God, by his attributes we mean those things that he is. And some of them are incommunicable. They belong to God alone. And no one else, we can never have them. And some are communicable, and we can touch them only on the fringe, but he has them in perfection, like love and mercy and so on. But the one he chooses as the brilliance of his attributes is his holiness and his righteousness. And nothing that's evil or dirty or unclean can ever come to him or have fellowship with him. And in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it says that naught that defileth shall ever enter in. But he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I saw this little plaque in some shop when I was on holiday. It's made it in wood, and I bought it. We have it in our home. I think it's lovely. An evil generation, their thoughts set on evil, self-gratification, self-indulgence, and then this lovely little line, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I asked myself this question this morning, and you can ask it as well, have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? That is the most wonderful thing, as you come to that place that you have said, yes, I am a sinner, Lord. And we come to a place of Calvary, and my sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. And we found grace in the sight of the Lord. In the midst of all that mess, and in the midst of all that sin, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Now then, in verse 9 we have, Noah was a just man. He was a very fair man, a fair-minded man. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Isn't it lovely? He was a just man, and Noah walked with God. That's a very wonderful thing. Now, God speaks to Noah. And Noah is obedient, and he gives him a very hard task. And in verse 12 he says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That is, all flesh had corrupted his way, God's way. God had a way for us to live. And they didn't want that way. They didn't want to live that way. Godliness was of no interest to them. And so mankind lost their true direction. It's very similar to today. And God said unto Noah, the end of flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the intention of God now in judgment is to destroy what he has created. He is disappointed. His heart is grieved. But there is one family here. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And that's a very wonderful thing. What God will spare and what God will do. In one street maybe, or in one town, for one person. You know, if you are shining for the Lord, and if you are faithful in all your ways and godly at work, you know, you are a benediction in that office. You're a benediction wherever you are. Now, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but That didn't mean he didn't stop preaching. They didn't want to hear. And people might say, it's a waste of time telling people. No, it's not a waste of time. Nothing is wasted for God. Nothing. Singing a hymn, reading a verse, giving a verse, mentioning his name. Nothing we do for him is a waste. And Noah believed that with all his heart. And so that dear old chap, he went on preaching in all these difficulties. No one wants it. He says, oh, Noah, how many converts today? None. Have you warned them of the income? Yes, I've warned them. The next week goes, any converts last week? No. None. Anybody stop to listen to the open air? No, none. What are you preaching? I'm preaching righteousness. And I'm warning them of the displeasure of God. What are they doing, Noah? They're laughing. They think that I'm an old-fashioned old man. And they're making fun of me. Do you pout, Noah? What do you do? I go on preaching righteousness. But we come to his low. How do you feel, Noah? My heart is breaking. What is it breaking about? It's breaking for these people and their indifference, and they do not care. And that the wrath of God can come so very, very suddenly. If I can give you an instance. When I was away one summer, and we were in one of the states of America, one of the census states, and we were in one of these open-air markets. It was so huge, and I don't want to exaggerate. I don't want to say thousands of tents. Maybe that would be silly. But it seemed like that. But you could never in one day visit all the tents. But it was incredibly hot. And all Maureen and I did was stay in the tents where they had a fan. And we stayed there as decently long as you could without kind of hanging about too much in one of the little tents. And then found another tent or the fan and stayed there. We didn't really enjoy our day at all. It was incredibly hot. It was 115 or something. And that was hot. And then it was between that and finding places where they sold ice-cold Coke. And I drank more Coke in one day, I think, than I have in I don't know how much. It was so hot. And a blue sky. And then somebody said, run for the car, run for the vans. Everybody was saying, run for your vans, run for your cars. And all it was, really, and I'm not exaggerating. See, this is where we were. And there, that little air vent there, the size of that in compared to the chapel, a little cloud. Do you know, like in the story of Elijah. They said, there's a storm. And I thought, that's silly. That's silly. It's only a little cloud. You know, we know when there's a storm, I mean, it's going to drizzle for ages and then rain. And, I mean, there are hours of, you know, kind of the beginnings of it. And they ran, so I ran best I could. I didn't make it in time within 50 yards of the van we were in. I was soaked. The heavens opened. I've never seen anything like it. You know, everything in America is big. You know, if you go for a walk, it's a long walk. I mean, I love America, you know, I really do. But it's big. And lightning, not just, oh, look at that one. There would be five or six at the same time. You had your choice. What a rush it was. And everyone getting into their cars. Noah saying, the judgment of God is coming like that. Repent for your lives. Repent for your souls. So he's preaching with all his heart. He's preaching with all that is in him because of the urgency, because God has spoken to him. That this is his law. Has anybody listened, Noah? No. Nobody listens. Shall I ask you? I know that you witness. Do they listen to you? Have you asked anybody to chapel this morning? Did anyone listen to you? This is where God has placed you. This is the place where our responsibility is. Have you asked anybody to come tonight? It'll be the clear gospel message. Do you think they'll come with you? Will you come? You see what I mean? How seriously should we treat the things of God? We are answerable, not to me. I am of no consequence at all. And anyway, my years are rapidly running out, and I'm aware of that. That doesn't matter. I'm glad with all my heart that I know where my destination is. Nevertheless, the law in my heart is that if you ask, they don't come. Even if they say yes, they do not come. And we try. Sometimes one will. And we thank God for that. Have you asked a friend? Have you talked to a friend? Did you mention him to your friend? Have you been to work this week? Have you talked to anybody this week at work? Have you mentioned him to them? Is he important enough to mention to somebody else? And we know that we are living in a time of a low, and we're low very often because we feel as if we our lips are blocked and we can't speak. It's as if we're struck dumb. And yet we want to speak, and somewhere is our courage, and we're in a time of low that we're almost breaking our hearts. Sometimes we have an opportunity, and sometimes we do not take them. We have that low, and we all know what that low is. Now, secondly, the commission of God. God's judgment is to be performed. He will come. So he tells this family to build an ark. That's a big boat now. And in this boat is for his family and numerous animals as well. Now, it must have been a very strange thing to do. There they are, way on dry land, away from the sea. And you're building a very large boat. Well, I ask you, isn't that an odd thing to do? Don't you think so? If you were a mocker, and if you were an unbeliever, and ready to make fun of a godly person, and you say, what you're doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Because God is going to drown the earth, and unless you drown, will be with me, you will be lost. And they laugh. And they go on making merry, giving and receiving in marriage, and in eating and drinking and all the things that they do. And he warns them, and he warns them, and they watch him. This silly old man. Do you know what he's doing? Have you heard the latest? He's building an ark. He's building a boat on dry land. Too big to drag to the sea even. So he's not going to catch any fish. What's he going to do? Well, he was always silly. He's always on about godliness and about God and judgment. It's much, much better to be happy and enjoy yourself. Life is short, you know. Let's eat, drink, and be merry and be done with it. And that's that. And they followed in their lifestyle. It was a strange sight, building this ark. It must have been. But they went on hammering and doing it. And it was completed. It must be a very strange sight. I speak to all of you now. South the young, shall I? Not picking on you. It must be a very strange sight for your friends in school to know, and they do know, don't they, that you come to chapel on Sunday. They come to an old building like this, not even modern, an old building with hard benches to sit on, and just an elderly person preaching. And they say, well, what a strange thing to do. And they're going into there. And they do it every week. And as if that weren't enough, they go to prayer meeting. And they pray to an invisible God. They can't see anything. And they close their eyes and they talk to somebody they can't see. And they tell him all their worries. What a funny lot they are. And some of them go to learn more, even on a Monday, to the Bible class. What a strange lot they are. And they've got a black book, they call it Bible. And they read it every day. And they pray on their own to this God. And they call it their quiet time. Go on and do it, won't you, my dear young people? Go on doing it. Middle age. Middle age is a period of ambition. It is, you know, for all of us. We've finished with our exams. We've got our qualifications. And now our children are grown. And things are nice. Oh, they are. I'm artistic. I like things, you know. And you like them. But there's a line where a thing becomes a tyrant. Lloyd Jones said that. The tyranny of things and ambition and being important and doing anything to get one over another person. The sin of middle age is a sin of wanting, desiring, collecting and having. Fight against it. Fight against it. And desire godliness with all your heart, my dear middle-aged people. And my dear fellow elderly people, this is a time where you can become weary in well-doing. Faint not in well-doing. Do not weary in well-doing. Be a benediction to the young and a blessing to the middle age. And continue to do it. Will you do it? They'll laugh at you. Of course they will. They'll laugh at you. And if you're in a home where no one else believes, they think you're a bit odd. Or if you're in a home, in an elderly people's home, and you're maybe the only one who has a Bible, and they will mock you, don't give up. Keep on doing it. Because your destination is greater than the ark. It is the ark of glory. It is heaven itself. Yes, we are a peculiar people. But they did this and they built the ark and they witnessed. Have we a witness today? In Matthew 24:37, there are other references. As in the days of Noah, Jesus speaks now, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There is a day of judgment, the great judgment, the end of the world. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating. You see, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then the flood came, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we also warn people and say, we are accountable. We have an immortal soul. We are not meant to live a life of filth and lust. We are not meant to pack our minds with unclean things. We are meant to live to the glory of God. We are meant to be children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can be made clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are meant to be prepared, and are you prepared? You know, Noah had a wonderful experience. He said, you know, I won't do this again, he said, when the floods after 150 days abated, and I will give you a sign in the sky, a rainbow. Do you look at rainbows? Do you like them? Have you sometimes seen a rainbow and then seen its reflected rainbow? A doubler. Have you seen a doubler? I've seen once or twice, a doubler. And once I saw in Scotland, over one lake, a complete rainbow, just from one lake to the other, with its shadow as well. I've got a photo of it. I've never seen anything like it. We managed to get the whole boat over, I think it was one actually, over the lake like that. It's very beautiful. This should be a sign that I will not destroy again. Now what is this judgment going to be? There will be an escape from this judgment. But look at how he does it. He brings us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is our new ark. Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life. He no need to, he's already perfect, but he did do as man, as perfect man. You could say his life as beautiful as a rainbow. And then in his death, he paid the penalty for our failure. Then when we come to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and repent of our sin and exercise faith in Jesus Christ, our lives really, we are then in the covenant, aren't we? The covenant of grace. A covenant that cannot be broken. And the sign that this covenant will never be broken is God's rainbow. And so that when you look at the rainbow, you could be reminded that the covenant of God will never be broken. And the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting granted in Jesus Christ will never be broken. And we too, in a way, will be as beautiful as rainbows. Does the beauty of the Lord rest upon you today? What was his high? His high was the promise that God gave him, the covenants of God. And that's the last one here. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. You see, after the floods abated, Noah then built an altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And in this altar that he has, it is well pleasing to God. Shall I bring us here now? Have you an altar in your heart? The incense of adoration of your quiet times. The incense of the adoration that although we are living in a time of law and our hearts are heavy for it, but the covenant of grace, the covenant of believing in Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins and life everlasting is wonderful in us. And that there is in the altar of our heart, that there is the incense of adoration coming to the very nostrils of God, and he's well pleased with our adoration. Our worship of God is like incense. You know, it doesn't matter. I can't sing very well. But I will sing. You know, because I like singing. I don't care that I'm out of tune. I hit some notes, I think, sometimes. You know. But I love it. Why? And not singing to you. And not singing to me. I'm singing to him. You know. And even if it's reading, is an act of adoration. God establishes a covenant. And in verse 9, establish my covenant with you. And in verse 11, and I will, in a later chapter, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh any more be cut off any more by waters or a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And as a token, he says he will give this rainbow. That is Noah's high. What do you think of that? It's Noah. Lonely, laughed at, mocked at, despised, living in an evil generation. Us, in our various situations, at work, in our streets, maybe even in your home, laughed at, mocked at, despised. But he remained a preacher of righteousness. His heart was heavy because of that. But his heart was light because the rainbow was to him a reminder that he is a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of the gospel. And we have the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to these lovely words that we have here. Lord of all being throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star, center and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart how near. Sun of our life, thy quickening ray sheds on our path the glow of day. Star of our hope, thy softened light cheers the long watches of the night. Our midnight is thy smile withdrawn. Our noontide is thy gracious dawn. Our rainbow arc, thy mercy's sign. All save the clouds of sin are thine. Lord of all life, below, above, whose light is truth, whose warmth is love, before thy ever-blazing throne, we ask no lustre of our own. Grant us thy truth to make us free, and kindling hearts that burn for thee, till all thy living altars claim one holy light, one holy flame. And then I finish with these stanzas. On the vast heavens thy wisdom hath ordained. Sun, O Lord my God, I stand and gaze in wonder. On the vast heavens thy wisdom hath ordained. Sun, moon, and stars, continue at thy pleasure, from nothing called, and by thy power sustained. Sometimes I hear the heavens rent by thunder, or see dread lightning leap across the sky. Then in the cloud I see the promised rainbow, stilling my fears with mercy from on high. Look at that. He lifts us from our low and brings us to his high. Then in the clouds I see the promised rainbow, a sign he'll not break his word, stilling my fears with mercy from on high. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name and ask thee to help us that we too might be a people who find grace in thy sight in such a day as this. For thy name's sake. Amen.